All right, Dan Meredith is who I'm talking to right now. Dan is, I don't know, probably the craziest person just in general, but just crazy cool. We're gonna kind of cover this, and it'll all reveal itself as we go. So Dan contacted me, I don't know, about 6 months ago. He had just bought Copy Hour about six times on accident, bought all the upsells, bought the Funnel Mastermind, everything, bought them all twice. And contacted me, wanted to get, just wanted to sit down and talk, and was hustling hard. And here we are, I don't know, like 6 months later at this point, Dan's billing in the six figures. He's on a road trip with none other than John McIntyre, the autoresponder guy right now. Was at Agora, was at the Titans event, killing it. So Dan, take us back through this process. Start at the beginning, because I think if we go all the way back, we can kind of work to where we are now, and I think we could just have a discussion around the things that you've done and what you're doing now, and I think it'll be enlightening for everybody. And
yeah,
Dan is the ultimate networker.
Thank you.
And he does it in
the second time I've heard that today, actually. So yeah, I think it must be.
Well, it's a terrible word, but what you're doing is I guess it's the best word to use, but networking is an awful thing. It just has a negative connotation, but the way that you've gone about it has been awesome. So
thank you. We were talking about that today, and I'll come back to the start in just a second. But on the networking side of things, I wrote a little post on Facebook today, and I kind of mix it up between, you know, personal stuff, some business stuff, pictures of what we're up to. And, I actually put one of the comments was networking is actually a great thing. And if you've ever managed to date someone, if you can get someone to have a conversation with you, you can network. One of the first points I put was don't underestimate having a couple of drinks with people who are higher up the food chain than you. And, the one thing that we noticed from just from our trip, these guys are like running multi-million, sometimes in the billion-dollar turnover kind of companies, and have been involved in huge things. And they're just normal people. We'll have a beer with them, and then they're like, yeah, here's my card, give us a call. Me and John yesterday, we just sort of chilled out a bit, because it was kind of a bit of downtime. And, we're just having a few drinks in the hotel room, watching some film, grabbing some food. And we've got people, like known people in the industry messaging us. We're chatting about them on Facebook. We're having a laugh with them. They're just normal people. And that's how I think we've actually managed to be quite successful, is we've just been ourselves. We've not tried to be something we're not. You stick an Aussie and a Brit together in America, it's quite a recipe for a... some very inappropriate conversations, but for some reason they seem to like us. But yeah, so networking, it's one of those things that when you don't have a lot of money to start off with, you can do. It doesn't cost anything. And, if you do it in the right way with kind of respect and a bit of humor and a bit of charm, it works. Simple as that.
Got it. We'll wait your ebook on networking. Yeah. Because we're all going to buy it. You said something about, having no money and getting started with this. So let's go back to that point.
So, if you scroll back to, this world that we're all in now, copywriting, marketing, all of this kind of stuff, I didn't know existed mid-December last year. That's when I first kind of heard about it. And I've got a friend of mine called Paul Mott. I was trying to sort of do a bit of brokering in the fitness industry. Someone wanted to get in touch with him. We connected. Paul introduced me into this kind of marketing world via the likes of Ben Settle, Andre Chaperon, a guy called Ryan Levesque. And I kind of learned, a bit of a sponge. But yeah, we had the reason being is that Paul's in the fitness industry. I come from the fitness industry originally. And we'd spent and borrowed a lot of money to get a facility open. And, we're opening the doors. It was brand new town. We had to spend, I maxed out pretty much every credit card to get the kit we needed, the floor, building stuff, bricks and mortar things. And, it left us to the point where we were, it was decisions between, is it food, is it fuel? We're kind of pretty tight. So that coincided with my little sister. She's not too well with her health, taking a little bit of a dip. So I needed a bit more time to sort of be able to help out with family. So I thought, how can I earn some money from the as I jokingly call it, how can I get some of this internet monies? And as you do, you go make money online. You type things in, and then
Please tell me you didn't type in make money online.
No, how do you make money online? Yeah, because I just looked. I didn't know. You hear about, that's it. So you hear about, you know, affiliate marketing. You hear about all these things, and it didn't sit well with me. And I thought, do you know what? I'm just going to try and learn marketing to make my business super successful. So we didn't have much of a budget for advertising because we'd literally spent everything. And I thought, well, you know, I'd spoken to, you know, Paul and Ben, and your product had come up a couple of times, a copy app. And I thought, that's a really cool idea, because a guy called Doberman Dan, he gave me some advice, and he's a really cool guy. He sort of hopped on the Skype call, and he said, look, best way to get good at writing copy, and he said, copy is just sort of salesmanship, you know, amplified in print. He said, is to copy out by hand all these adverts. So I started doing it and trying to find these adverts, and I didn't know what was good or not. And then I found your stuff. And I'd connected with John McIntyre at this time, and it's kind of, you know, there's a lot of mutual sort of friends in the industry, and really dived into it. So I kind of thought, right, let's give this a go. So I kind
of... one second. How did you get in contact with Doberman Dan? So what was that process like? Like, how did you get him on a Skype call? Because that might be instructive for people.
Yeah. The one thing I have found is that most people, so all the people that I've connected with, some big, you know, big, big names in the industry, and it's not kind of showing off, is that I actually buy their products. So with Doberman Dan, I bought all his stuff. I mean, it wasn't expensive in total. I think I got, you know, I signed up to his membership site. I bought, you know, his upsells, and one of the upsells, you know, was, you know, a chance to chat with him. And pretty much everyone I've got on the phone, I've actually bought their products. So at the very, very least, I buy their stuff and I implement it. So with Dan, you know, he just gave me, you know, some really, really good advice. And he mentored under Gary Halbert, I'm sure you've obviously mentioned before, many a time in the copy hour. And I thought, wow, this is a kind of, you know, this is a guy I want to learn from. And he told me about the exercise that he did to kind of get good. But I was finding it really hard to actually find good adverts, which is when I came across yours. I think I heard you mentioned in the Ben Settle podcast. And then, yeah, as you, I think as you saw, I just went a little, I saw it, thought this is exactly what I was looking for. I think I bought, two subscriptions to the Coffee Hour. I bought your Funnel Hour. And then I think I messaged you saying, like, well, is there more things? Didn't I? I was like, what else have you got? And you're like, no, you've got it all done. And I was like, oh, okay. But, yeah, and I just dived in. I mean, I think, you know, you said, you know, you suggested, because we were chatting back and forth on email, and I said, you know, how long does it take? And you said, you know, most people, it's, you know, 1 to 2 hours a day. So I just decided to dive in and did about 4 hours a day. So my logic was, if it's an hour a day for a year, if I do four times as much, I can get a year's worth of knowledge in 3 months. Because I really, you know, jokes aside, like, we were, you know, back then, financially, we were struggling. You know, it's a very, very stressful time, you know, trying to help out a lot of people and staff and family.
It's funny when you talk about back then, because that's like 6 months ago at this point.
Yeah.
Six or seven months, yeah.
I was literally, I was kind of playing, my friend would say, sort of moving monies around on credit cards, you know, sort of like you sort of pay one off and then try and get someone on the next one. And it was out of necessity. And, you know, we've spoken a lot, at Titans, and myself and John, about the need to invest in yourself. And it's like, it doesn't, you know, I'm not talking about, you know, it probably has been tens of thousands now, but, you know, it started off with just a few hundred dollars. And at the time, a few hundred dollars was everything to me. You know, we didn't have it. But, you know, I kind of invested wisely, and unlike a lot of the people I seem to speak to who buy products, is I do as I'm told. So you said to me, Dan, you know, it's obviously explanatory what you do, but you just said, just do it. You know, you just have to kind of almost like trust in the process a little bit. And same with other people I've met, you know, these people are knowledgeable. Instead of trying to reinvent the wheel, if I buy a product from someone, whether it be a digital download, an ebook, you know, a coaching call, I do it. And I think that's, you know, it's all very well learning. There's a book I read called, was recommended when I was at Ocean's Four, called Ready, Fire, Aim. And I think that principle is something that I've, you know, really sort of loved how I've worked, because I just get myself vaguely ready. I dive in, and then I kind of figure out the bits I need to figure out as we go along. You know, I don't spend too long in the kind of planning stage, just put it that way.
Got it. So, after copy hour, that's when that was in, was that December or January?
No, I think we finally, so I sort of first started understanding what copy was December.
Okay.
January, I think we connected in February, I think February, March. I'm still living in my old flat.
Okay.
And then, yeah, then the funnel hour was just, I thought, well, this is a way for me to learn. So I was, by this point, I'd started some coaching with Ryan, and he's obviously, you know, renowned as like the funnel specialist.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, here's an opportunity for me to kind of really front load my training. So I was doing kind of, you know, 3 to 4 hours of handwritten copy a day, my work with Ryan coaching. And then I was thinking, okay, I seem to be getting, you know, fairly good at this. I'd landed a couple of external clients, you know, outside my business, you know, my business, my fitness business, you know, the copy I'd written was generating clients, which was an amazing feeling.
So you got into it to generate leads and sales for your fitness business.
Yeah. You know, we had a very bespoke business, and a lot of the kind of sort of, some of the marketing that's out there for what we did, it just didn't work, unfortunately. Like Facebook marketing, you know, didn't work for us, for example, which is where a lot of people go in my industry. And, you know, our clients were quite affluent and quite premium. And I thought, I need to kind of learn the language that these guys speak and find them. So, yeah. So, you know, I'd written, I went old school. I wrote newspaper adverts. I wrote brochures. I wrote advertorials. So, you know, real kind of what you would call probably old fashioned or traditional mediums, but that's where my market was. And as soon as I started, you know, advertising where they were, rather than trying to, you know, drag them in off Facebook or whatever, then the sales just literally month after month we'll put it this way. We went from no clients to full in 4 months, I would say, pretty much solely through copy and the advertising we put out.
Wow, that's fantastic. So it was a high end gym,
yeah,
that you're working with. And then, so you started to learn copy. I remember when you first contacted me, I thought you had been in business for like 15 years working on your fitness business.
No,
by the way that you spoke. So
I've been in the industry on and off for a long time. So I've worked in the corporate world, and, you know, fitness was always my first love. But no, I think when we spoke, we hadn't opened at that point, and I was just like, right, well, we put all our savings into this. You know, we come from normal families. We're not, you know, blessed with sort of trust funds and piles of cash lying everywhere. So we did it on our own dime. You know, we saved.
Got it.
And, you know,
After that point, then what was your transition? Because now you're moving into other things, right? I'm assuming, yeah, you still have the fitness business in the background.
Fitness business is now automated, staffed, full. You know, bar writing the adverts and doing the social stuff now, I don't touch it. It runs itself. So, I'm pretty, you know, within 6 months, that's pretty cool. I'm quite happy with that. Which allowed me to, obviously, which freed up more of my time. And again, this is down to you and John. I think I'd heard it was either yourself or John McIntyre, either on your podcast or on one of the emails about Rob Hanley. And Rob, it's probably your listeners will know, is obviously a very good marketing consultant himself. And I didn't know this, again, like being a copywriter, I'd already got some copywriting clients and I was enjoying that. I was like, oh, I can do this as well. So I think I badgered Rob for a call and got him on the phone for a consultation. And then we ended up doing some work together. And then Rob helped me take all my sort of sales skills, copy skills, you know, my networking, my ability to win new business, which is something I'm sort of fairly good at. And he helped me morph it together into, you know, a new business. And basically I started doing consultancy work for the health and fitness industry. So that was kind of my next evolution. I thought, well, I've got a bit of free time now. All I need is a laptop, you know, Skype and a phone. We're good to go. So that was my sort of the next evolution, I'd say, from where the fitness business into where I am, well, to where I am ultimately now.
How'd you go about getting your first couple copywriting clients?
Ryan. So I this shows obviously my kind of lack of fear of these sort of things. And when your back is against the wall, you kind of just don't worry about if things aren't right. You just go for it. My sort of story in the sort of copywriting side of things was there was a job going for a guy called Ryan Levesque. You know, very well-respected marketer with funnels, especially, and, you know, very, very smart guy. And he was looking for a copywriting apprentice, and I think that was about 30K US, you know, working a full-time job from home. I thought, well, that's perfect, because then, you know, my partner and the team can run, you know, the business day-to-day. I can help out with my sister. You know, I need a laptop, I can just write. So, yeah, I applied. By the point, I think I had 2 or 3 months experience writing copy. And I was going up against guys with like 5, 10 years experience, you know, professionals and all this kind of stuff. And unfortunately, I didn't get it. I came second. But, you know, Ryan kind of took a punt on me, I think we'd say here in the UK, I don't know if that's an Americanism at all, and he helped me, you know, sort of put together a presentation to go and win my first clients. And then, and it started from there. I mean, I was literally writing emails at $25 an email. And I was, you know, back in there, like, that's awesome. You know, someone's going to give me $25 just to write an email. That's cool. And these emails would take me, you know, one email would take me like hours to get right, which, you know, because I was trying to do a good job. And then I realized, obviously, you know, years of being in kind of corporate sales and new business, I thought, well, most copywriters, not most, sorry, a lot of them are quite very intellectual and very sharp people, but not necessarily the most aggressive when it comes to, say, winning new business. And I thought, well, that's a skill I've got. So I'll go the other way around. I'll go out and hustle and find my own clients. And that was it. I was relentless. I think Rob's system, I bought Rob's sort of 36-day, you know, get yourself up and running as a marketing consultant, copywriting consultant type system. And I went for it. I did it. I did like a minimum of 10 emails and 10 calls a day, every day, and was just relentless until I built myself, you know, quite a solid pipeline. And as I went along, my prices went up and up. And, you know, before I knew it, I finally, realistically, I'm 34 now, so I was 33 then. I'd actually found something that I could turn on and off as and when I needed it to make money. And just started going after bigger and bigger and fish.
And in the beginning, were you niched down? Were you just going after fitness consultants or trying to be a fitness consultant or a fitness copywriter?
Yeah,
or in the beginning, just anybody?
I realized that combining my fitness experience and my copywriting experience, my first few clients weren't in fitness. They're sort of in online and programs and technology and all sorts. But I've realized, you know, I know the fitness industry. I love the fitness industry. When I write for it, I write with passion because I enjoy it. So I just decided to become, you know, that guy. So I just ended up doing just marketing, consultancy, copywriting, you know, new business development, joint ventures, you know, all these kind of things you learn as you, you know, get further down the rabbit hole in the world we're in. I just dived in. And yeah, just started literally finding people off Facebook, off magazines, articles I read, blogs, anyone. Anything, anyone I saw who had a product or service or could have a product or service, I just went after.
So you would, like, what was your process? I mean, I don't know if you've thought it through exactly what your process was. So you see somebody on Facebook that you think you could do some work for. What's your first step? How do you get going to build that relationship?
Well, the first step, Facebook, I was, you know, very logical and strategic. So I'm quite well known in the fitness industry. I've got some good friends, should I say, in the fitness industry. So I'd obviously started working with, you know, yourself, John, Ryan, Jack, all these sort of people. So I built up my friends. I kind of connected with all my marketing clients, and then I connected with all of my fitness clients. And then by the nature of when I'd message people, they could, you know, we'd have mutual friends. So, you know, the social proof element definitely helped, but it was very straightforward. I would generally spend an hour, you know, so after I'd done all my, you know, copy hour stuff, I would then have another hour just kind of sit on the balcony and just go online and just do some research. So I'd go through Facebook, see if anyone was promoting posts, read a magazine, you know, just type in, you know, fitness blog, see who's doing it, draw up a list, and then just go after them. So whether it was email, call, Facebook, you know, whichever medium I needed, I would just get in touch. And I would normally kind of compliment them on something because, I mean, I wasn't – these people I contact are actual people that I do rate. So I find out something about them, recent article, you know, interview they've done, you know, new product that they launched. I just introduce myself, say what I did, just say if you ever need anything in this particular niche, give me a shout. I kind of mentioned some of the people I'd worked with, some of my friends, and just be really cool. Just, you know, it wasn't a hard sell. It was just, this is what I do, wanted to connect with you. You know, if you know anyone who might be interested in this, give me a shout. And likewise, always happy to bounce ideas. So I never actually went in with a particularly hard pitch. And most of the time it was just almost like an intro. And then what you found is there's a lot of very successful people who their job is to do, you know, say, for example, in the fitness industry, if they're really good at program design, they've got online programs or nutrition books or whatever, they're not necessarily going to be able to write about themselves in the way that I can and in a sort of in a sales in a sort of direct response style. And half the time, it's a job that they knew they had to do, but as soon as they realized there was someone they could outsource it to, like the leads just started coming thick and fast.
And how do you charge? What's your process for coming up with your rates? Yeah.
Initially it was kind of, I kind of looked to others and, you kind of look around the room and compare yourself. So I started off with kind of a fixed price. So, a 10 email autoresponder was this, sales page was this, copy review was this, I had a price for everything. And as we morphed further down the line and as the work I was doing was getting good results and, and my network and name was getting, passed around without me even knowing, people were, starting to recommend me who've never seen my copy, but just knew of me by reputation on the work I'd done. So then by that point, I was thinking, okay, I'm on something good here. I partnered up with a lady who kind of was the kind of the back end to my front end, so to speak. And now, for example, my model now, so initially it was, pay per piece, which we still do for real high-end stuff. So if you want like a, like a 20-page sales page or anything, really in-depth, we still do bespoke, one-to-one projects. But now all of my clients, every single one, is retained. All of them.
And what's that process like? So if they need something done, how does it work?
We've got different, so now we've got like different tiers, for want of a better word, of what we do. So we've got, sort of a low, medium and high, for want of a better word.
Got it.
Each of them has a higher price point for the first month because there's all the setup, there's the research, it is more time intensive when you first work with a client. And then, when we obviously work out what they want, what the agreed, agreement is, we do that every month. So for example, now I've got a whole team of, sort of web development people, graphic designers, fellow copywriters, someone who's obviously good on the online advertising. I've got a direct mail specialist. So I've built up a whole team sort of behind me in the wake of doing all this. And so, so we now can handle anything. If it's something that I'm working on, then there's obviously a certain, cost and time element, but, we've got a team to kind of handle pretty much everything now. And that's it. We're talking about being, there's a lot of people at the Titans event, me and John Rat, talking about being specialists. And it's kind of like, I kind of really drilled down on what my USPs were. I thought, this is what makes me, for want of a better word, special. Then I need to go recruit people to fill in the gaps. And it's just spiraled from there. It's gone from, being completely honest with you, it was me with an old, sort of what, 4-year-old, really decrepit laptop, trying to do this, in between looking after my sister, running a business and, just desperate to do anything, to now, an international six-figure sort of marketing and copywriting business.
International six-figure man of mystery.
Indeed.
Is what you're saying.
So I still have, we've got different, the main business that we do now, which is like kind of the team thing, is kind of being launched officially in October. So this is all within...
So you've all done this without a website?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I now have a website. I mean, I've got a simple WordPress one put up, which is my friend Paul came up with this. And it's again, it's finding your niche and being confident. And it was iamthefitnesscopywriter.com. It is what it is. So that was my initial one when I first started. And now we've got new ones coming live. We've got one which is called The Fitness Funnel. The company is called Wellness Business Solutions. So we've kind of, it's grown as businesses do. It's morphed off into, different areas and different things that we can do as a result of it. So, it's grown its own leg. So I still kind of handle, the main copy side of things, but it's, we can now offer whatever our client needs, really. So instead of just being just that one person, I can only do one thing, I can now offer them whatever it is they need.
Got it. So in the beginning, if you had to say, what are some of the mistakes that you've made? What would you do differently if you had to go back?
If I had to go back, in all honesty.
It doesn't sound like you made a lot of mistakes, to be honest.
There are areas that I've kind of, not so much let slip, but I kind of underestimated the importance of. Number one is, ironic, so I'm, personal training background, have a fitness facility, is I neglected my health. So literally, I overworked, too much coffee, crazy, like 20-hour days. It's one of those things. I did go, obviously I've got up to where I am quite quickly. And a lot of the people we've spoken to over the last few days do have that period of time. Like the kind of whole 4-hour work week philosophy. It's like, yeah, we sounds ideal, but you do, there's that period where you have to really push. And if I'm honest, I've probably let my nutrition, my training, my sleep, my recovery, my mindset, especially my mindset was something I really neglected. And it's hard, you know, you don't realize what stress and pressure can do to you. And it's obviously self-imposed. But so yeah, definitely one, is, you know, you do have to push it, but you know, if you can try and stay healthy, try and eat well, try and sleep, you know, your body will thank you for it. And you end up producing better work anyway. So that's the one, and that's the biggest mistake I probably made. And then the second one is probably underestimating your worth. And when you're first starting out and you're kind of going out there into the world, there are people out there who don't want to do this stuff and will happily pay you to do it. I mean, you do need obviously a degree of, you know, skill, and that's where it comes in, things like the copy hour or the courses I've done, and everything like that. You know, I do learn and I do apply. But yeah, I think initially, I probably charged too low, quite honest, you know, because I was going,
I think everybody does, definitely. Yeah.
I was just happy that someone was going to pay me anything to do this. You know, this was new to me. And like now, you know, it's not that I'm, you know, indifferent to the sort of the smaller jobs. It's just that, you know, we do such high quality and sort of good work and on a variety of different on and offline platforms that, you know, we realize, you know, actually we actually help people make an awful lot of money, get huge reach. We take a lot of stress off them and we're doing something we enjoy. So that's definitely another one, is obviously your worth. If you are like, you know, if you know everything there is to know about this particular widget that this market loves and you can write about it with passion, then you have a value. And it's just knowing your value from the off, and you know, being confident with clients. And you know, remember, it's, you know, a lot of us get into this world because we want to be our own bosses, and you know, just keeping sight of that is definitely key. But I'd say, yeah, I mean, that's probably the two main ones. I mean, I don't think I've made too many mistakes along the way. I hope not. I mean, I've got some phenomenal clients now, like really cool, awesome people, like all around the world. And me and John were talking about this morning, and you know, the final post is actually one from a quote from John, and I won't use the word, but basically people overcomplicate this. You know, once you've learned it, apply it, and it should be fun. Like every day, this day, my whole philosophy is, if there's a client, a business relationship, a joint venture partner, somebody wants copy, and that as soon as that relationship is no longer fun, as in if I don't enjoy their company, then just draw a line. You know, it's a slower process now to work with me, because I really want to like my clients. And, you know, things will go wrong. It's going to happen. And the fact is, if you've got that base in sort of, not so much friendship, but kind of you respect each other, you get on, you like each other, it just makes everything a lot easier. So, yeah, I mean, I think you probably heard this before, Derek. We all take clients at the start that we just have to. And, you know, in hindsight, there's a few now, you know, done the work for them and moved on. But, yeah, they definitely took more than their money's worth, let's put it that way.
Definitely. So I think, you know, what I'm hearing here is basically you condensed the learning process into a really like 3 to 4 month period, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Which is possible. And then from there you moved into relationships. So, or, you know, and during that you started building relationships. So it sounds to me like there's skills that are necessary that you built, and then the relationships.
Yeah.
And then from there, things just kind of naturally happen.
And that's it. And I think it's doing it with, I mean, some of the people that took me on, I mean, you know, I'm not going to do some cheesy name drop, but some of the people that took me on are like, you know, famous in the marketing world. And I look back at my emails and some of the copy I wrote back then, and it was awful, but they saw in me a passion. And they wanted me to succeed. And they said, you know, we'd much rather have someone who's passionate and driven and cares than someone who's like, you know, instantly awesome, but kind of, you know, knows it. And there's a degree of arrogance. Like, you know, I genuinely actually want to do a good job. And, you know, some of the people who took a chance on me have now become, you know, mentors, friends, clients, you know, staying with certain people in the industry. We've been traveling around. And it's just effort. You know, I should say, dived in. I built a team up around me as I went along. And I just kind of said, you know, some days it'll work, some days it won't. But just if you have passion, drive and energy, and, you know, you can probably hear from my voice, I'm a bit of an up character. It gets you far. You know, people respect it and they'll give you chances.
What do you think separates you from most other people?
Borderline caffeine dependency. No, yeah, coffee has been both my friend. She's a harsh mistress. She abuses me daily.
But, I know it's a hard question to answer, but no, if you had to pick a trait that maybe you, John McIntyre, some of these other successful people have, what would you say it is?
I would say everyone I've met, you know, and I was having chats with Doberman Dan the other day, and he, you know, without naming names, like everyone doubts himself at time to time, but it's just the relentless, non-stop, just the ability not to take no for an answer. Like, you get knockbacks daily, like hourly when you're starting. And it's just that point where you just have to kind of trust in the process and you just keep going and just diving in. I mean, all of the people I've spoke to have gone through periods of like lean, you know, living out of cars, you know, moving back in with their parents, not eating for days. You know, loads of people have these kind of rags to riches kind of stories, and they don't tell it in a way to say, oh, look at me now, I'm amazing. It's just, what, you know, it seems to be a part of the fact that whilst you're finding your feet, you know, it's not easy. But no one gave up. I'd say the key trait that I have is that I don't give up. You know, it takes a lot of no's for me to finally, you know, actually accept it's a no. It's just that, you know, if you can't have belief in yourself, believe in the process, and it will come.
It's got to have something to do with that beard too, because it just seems like there's so many marketers there. Yeah.
Looking like a Boston and being 240 pounds of angry rugby player probably does help. But they can't see me on the phone.
Got it. All right. Well, let's get together again and talk maybe about your experience at Titans.
Yeah.
And then maybe also about, you know, some next steps for you, because I think people are going to want to know where you're headed. We've got some exciting things coming down the pipes.
Yes.
And you had mentioned to me that you have some time slots that you can yeah, make available for Skype.
Let me just get my diary out. So I deliberately blanked out everything post-Titans because I thought my head was just going to explode. But as of week commencing the 29th, sort of Monday through Friday, I usually put aside, this was something one of my mentors told me, and I put aside 15, 20 minutes a day to speak to anyone, you know, whether they're starting on their journey, whether they maybe want to pick my brains on something. And I thought, well, you know, coffee hour was a big part of that. And I thought, yeah, why not? So basically week commencing the 29th. So
September
29th, 4 p.m. GMT, because I'm in London time zone in the UK. 15 minutes, 20 minutes every day. There's 5 gaps. So if anyone wants to chat about this, ask my advice, want some pointers, wants to hire me, then they can give me a call. But no, it's the exact opposite, isn't it? It's no, so it is literally my back is on my way up to where I am now. A lot of people, you know, yourself included, John, Rob, and lots more of us, you know, must be 15, 20 really well-known people, you know, would hop on Skype and give me a bit of advice. And I always said to myself, if I get a chance to pay it back, I will. So I do this every day. So, yeah, no sales, just if someone wants some advice, a few pointers, like I said, go ahead.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Dan.
Pleasure. Lovely talking to you. Take care, Derek.